I love the book of Proverbs. I probably have read the book of Proverbs more than any part of the Bible by multiples of times. In my teen years, I read the book of Proverbs every month. As I got to college, I began to read it not just every month, but every week. There's many days I'll sit down and read the whole book of Proverbs in about a half hour or so. I probably average reading through the book of Proverbs a dozen or more times a year, at least. I spend a lot of time in it. It is a book about wisdom. It is a book about how to live. It's a very practical book. Now, it doesn't flow like a story. If I'm wanting to read stories, I'll go to the book 1 2 Samuel, 1 2 Kings, 1 2 Chronicles, especially after I get through all the this person begat this person that begat that person's, but read the stories of the lives of these people and Joshua and Judges and Ruth. But when I need wisdom, I run to the book of Proverbs. Now, God gave it to us to give us his wisdom. Listen to this statement. But not another man's wisdom. This is God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. You see, it's a book of principles that shows us the positive for obeying and the negative for disobeying. He said, look, this is what happens if you do this, but if you don't, this is what happens. So it's a double-edged sword on every truth. So the book of Proverbs shows us practically, honestly, how to live in just about every situation of life. You want to learn about life? Read the book of Proverbs. You want to read through the book of Proverbs every month? Today is February 2nd. Read Proverbs 2 today. Tomorrow, read Proverbs 3. And read it according to the corresponding day of the month. And you can read through it. There's 31 chapters, 31 days in a month. You can read through the book of Proverbs every month. It doesn't take long, but boy, you will gain a lot about life if you do. We listen to ourselves and the world way too much about life. Did you hear what I just said? Proverbs, as a book of wisdom on how to live, is God's advice to us, not man's. I don't know about you, but I don't want to end up like the rest of the world. Then why do we listen to it so much? Why do we want to compare ourselves to it so much? Don't you think that the God that created the universe and created man has a better idea of how we're supposed to live than some other sinner?
Amen.
Then why do we listen to the sinners more than God? God tells us, he says, look at verse number 1 again. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. Now, you'll find in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, I'm not going to take time to cross-reference everything tonight, but God says to learn life and to love instruction, knowledge, and wisdom. Knowledge is the word knowledge there is in reference to loving life. So whoso loveth knowledge, the knowledge about life, watch this, he loves instruction. But he that hateth it, he hates reproof. Now, instruction will involve much correction and discipline. Everybody look at me for a second here. School, we use the word instruction. That means you're going to try things and fail many times. The process of succeeding is failing. Learning the math tables, learning your phonics skills, learning all those different things that seem to be so base, but once you get the base set, you can build the building. You don't build the base, the building falls down. 60% of all publicly educated young people in America right now cannot read at a proficient level at eighth grade in public school system. 60%. My kindergartners that graduate from our school read better than most eighth graders in the public schools and know how to the rest of their life. Now, you say, well, you're just bragging. No, I'm just showing you there's a difference in teaching truth and instruction rather than letting everybody learn the way they want to learn. Well, the new math, if 2 + 2 = 5 and somebody can show me their work, I'll give them credit for it. No, 2 + 2 = 4. Sun rises in the east, sets in the west. I don't care what you say. No wonder they're so confused about life because there's no absolutes. By the way, that's communism. Communism wants to take away all absolutes. Socialism begins to break it down. How can we understand life without the instruction or learning about life? Now, hang on, I'm going to make some pretty harsh statements here. Hold on. God did not want man to be caveman trying to figure it out the hard way on his own. By the way, man was not created like a caveman. He didn't live in a cave dragging his wife by his hair carrying a club. She drug him by the hair, beating him with a club. But it wasn't all of a sudden two sticks rubbed together long enough and he got heat. He didn't try to figure out how to build a wheel and make it square and then triangle and finally figured out round works better. No, God told man what to do. God gave man the instructions needed to run life in this world. Everybody doing okay? It's only the hard-headed people that have to learn it the hard way. It's only those that refuse to be instructed that learn it the hard way. That's why you repeated fourth grade so many times. People, unlike animals, don't come out ready to live. Now, don't get mad at me, ladies. A cow or a horse can drop a calf or a foal, and within minutes, that animal's up on their feet, finds mama, and begins nursing. You ladies don't pop out a puppy and they find their way. Humans are born dumber than animals. And don't take this the wrong way. It's true. Because in the wild, animal drops, they have to be able to get up and move right away or they're going to be dinner. They have to be, a newborn baby doesn't get up and just start suckling and walking around. My mom thought I was close because I walked at 7 months, but, and I haven't slowed down since, all right? Except for 2.5 months on a scooter. People need taught and trained to live. God made man different. Animals can learn on their own and on the fly a little faster. People take forever to learn. Look how long it is till a child could feed themselves. If it were an animal, it would have starved to death long before then. In many ways, a human is dumber than an animal because God intended us humans to train people how to live. Everybody listen to me. It is our job to train people how to live. Sin has destroyed that process. I'm going to make somebody really mad. Probably not in this room, but on the internet world. People have more sense with their dogs and their cats than they do their own children. They'll tell their kids to do something, but they'll train their animal. More money is spent training animals than training children. Oh, no, look how much is spent in the public school system. Yeah, they're not being trained for anything. Now, listen to me very carefully here. The process of learning never stops. The day you stop learning is the day you start dying. You ought to be in a continual process of learning. Amen. I can't tell you how many times I have read through the Bible, hundreds. Brother Anthony will tell you every once in a while, I'll run down to his office and say, got a second? Yeah. I just got to share this with you. God just showed me something. I can't sit on it any longer. I got to tell somebody. Say, what is that? I'm constantly learning. You see, remember, God made us to live forever. God made us to live forever. Sin is what stops that. Now, hang on. That means there's much error and much reproof along the road of life. Do you know I've learned some things along the road of life that I thought was right that isn't right? I've thought some things, Brother Steve, when we were in Bible college. I thought, these idiot pastors, they don't know what they're doing. I'm 19, 20 years old. I know better than they do. Guess what? I got reproved, amen? I find out they weren't as dumb as I thought they were. I thought I had all the answers. Yeah, but it was to the wrong questions. I answered all the wrong questions. You see, we think, look how you've changed over your life. Some of the things you used to think that were right, they didn't turn out so right, did they? How many times have you said to yourself, well, I learned how not to do it. Now, experience is not the best teacher. Someone else's experience is. Let me say that again. Experience is not the best teacher. Someone else's experience is. I love you with all my heart, but you're stupid if you think you have to figure it all out yourself. No, find somebody that is good in that area, learn from their years of experience, and keep from making the same mistakes. I got the best years of Dr. Jack Hiles. Say why? I was sitting I forget where, whether we were at lunch together, whether I was taken to or from an airport, or I was in a meeting with him. I don't remember. I just remember him saying something to me one day. He said, Brother Craig, he said, I almost envy you. I said, why is that? He said, you're very young. Oh, to hear those words again. I started working for him when I was 29 years old. He said, you're getting the best years of my ministry. I've made all my mistakes. I've learned how to fix them. And you're getting the best years of my ministry. He said, I hope you pay attention. By the way, folks, I paid attention. You want to know why Grace Baptist Church is what it is? Because I listened to somebody that had pastored for 55 years. I listened to somebody that built the world's largest church. That pastored more people than any humans ever pastored before in the history of the world. To the pastor who had 5 Sundays bigger than Pentecost. Anybody doing okay? I got his best years. By the way, I learned through his death even some mistakes he made. Because of how things happened after he was gone. And I've set things up to where those things won't happen here if y'all listen. Anybody doing okay? See, I even learned after he was gone. Now, I'm not a psychologist in any way. Believe me. All of sinful man, like all of sinful man, I should say, they take one part of one truth and pervert it. A psychologist, the word psychology means the study of man's mind. Well, one sinner studying another sinner's mind, nothing good going to come out of that. And they can only work on the body and the soul. God says work on body, soul, and spirit. A pastor should have more sense than any psychologist. Everybody doing okay? Any pastor that tells you you need to go see a psychologist to get professional help, they don't know what they're talking about. Go find a real pastor that knows the Bible. And I don't care where that one goes. They want to say, let's find out who it is in your past and blame them for what you are today. Let's go back all the way to your childhood, and maybe your dad didn't take you enough ball games as a kid, and that's why you're a child molester today. Your mommy didn't say, I love you enough, so you're a woman beater today. No, you're a woman beater because you're an idiot. Everybody doing okay? You see, they want to blame everybody but the person they're talking to for the problem they have. Say, what is that? Because to love life, you have to learn to accept reproof. Psychology defers reproof and gives it to someone else. Psychology says, let's blame somebody else for your problem. God says, accept the reproof from making the mistake, learn from it, and don't repeat it. I love when President Trump has said things like, we need to go back before 1913, before there was an IRS, and find out the greatest years of our economy and repeat it. That's what history's all about. Let's not keep the cycle going down the septic tank. Let's go back when there was no IRS, no income tax, and we made our money from foreign countries, from them buying things for us. Oh, the price of things are going to go up. He just placed a tariff on Mexico and Canada and China. Yeah, do you know why? Those are all things that we produce here. But we're buying them from there, paying more money for it, and we don't need their help. Everybody doing okay? That's what a tariff is all about. The government making its own money, not off of us. They take the goods and the services and the labor we do, sell it worldwide. That's why the car market had such a struggle in the 70s. You buy a $40,000 car here in America, send it to Japan. Japan put 100% tariff on it and sold it for $80,000. You take a car in Japan and bring it here for $40,000, and we sold it for $40,000. No, let's do the same thing to them that they've done to us. That's why a lot of men that worked in the United Auto Workers Union hate foreign cars. Because everyone you bought lost 3 American jobs because your government let them tariff our cars and not tariff theirs. Thank you, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Nixon, and Mr. Jimmy Carter. And everyone thereafter, including Ronald Reagan. I said it. God wants us to love learning to live. I don't know about you, but I love life. I love to live. I've seen people die. I don't want to do it. Not right now, at least. This means we must also accept to love reproof. To love knowing how to love will help you accept reproof. Let's look at what God has to say about this. Look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 1 again. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. The word reproof, many of you don't know what that word means. I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to educate you. The word reproof means blame. To learn to love life, get used to accepting blame. Everybody look at me for a second. When a child gets an answer wrong on their test, it's their fault, not the teacher's. Did you hear what I just said? I'm sick up to here to say, well, my kid got a bad grade because that's a bad teacher. No, your kid's a bad student. Let him study. You're talking about my kid? Yeah, and mine. And everybody else's. Now, I realize there are some poorer teachers out there. But a good teacher, if everybody in the classroom misses one question, is going to throw that question out. They'll adjust. But the grade on the paper isn't the teacher's fault, that's the student's fault. Accepting the blame is important in learning how to live. That's why many of you adults have a hard time in relationships, because you won't admit you're wrong. Ouch. Folks, let's face it. None of us are right all the time. Let's fix it. There's times as a leader. Listen to the statement. As a leader, I have to absorb the blame for what somebody under me does as my fault. If something goes out of the office and it doesn't go out right, it's not Mrs. Barnes's fault. It's my fault because I didn't lead her well enough to keep it from happening. And I'll take the blame. Everybody doing okay? Now, if Brother Anthony does it, it's his fault. No. Now, seriously, we have to understand there's times when things, a leader takes the blame for something that he didn't technically do, but it's under his leadership, therefore it is his fault. That's to teach people under him how to accept reproof. Did you know accepting blame doesn't hurt anybody? Okay, let's practice this. Everybody ready? I want you to say this. I was wrong. Ready? I was wrong. Nobody fell over dead with a heart attack. Nobody's bleeding. Let's try one more. It's my fault. You ready? It's my fault. Yeah. Did you know that didn't hurt you? The only thing it hurts is your pride. Reproof means you accept the blame for your responsibility. Psychology says let's blame everybody else. Reproof also means disapproval. Some of y'all in school ought to be glad I don't grade your papers, because I'd erase the whole thing and make you do it all over again, because I'm not reading your chicken scratch. I know my chicken scratch isn't a whole lot better, but I try real hard to make sure everything's readable. Can I tell you something? There were times where I would accept it, but if it had to be something turned in that I had to read, if I couldn't read it, they got a zero. And I told them that every time they turned something in, if I can't read it, it's wrong. If I have to work extra hard just to read out what you're trying to scribble on a piece of paper because you're too lazy to put the work into it, I disapprove of it. It's wrong. How do you think God feels? That means sometimes you have to do something all over again. I love the system in our school where if they get below a certain level, they have to go back and do a certain amount. If they do so bad on something, they have to start all over for 2 weeks worth of work. Say why? Because it means they didn't get it. Disapproval. That's called reproof. It's also motivation, the next pace, not to have to do that again. Reproof means correction. Now listen to me. Sometimes we put a negative slant to correction. The word correction means you fix what was not right. The purpose of reproof is to correct. That means you take what you did not get right, go back, fix it, not memorize the answer from somewhere else and write it down. You go figure it out and show the work, and then you have fixed the problem. You don't blame it on others for being wrong. You accept it and you fix it. One of the things my kids used to hate, oh, they hated it. My son Josh and I were talking about this just the other morning early. He said, Dad, remember before you paddle us, you'd go through the speech? I said, yes, I know the speech word for word. He said, you still remember it? I said, you know how many times I paddled you? And your brother and your sister. I said, yes, I would say this, and this is the part you hated most, I promise you. Did I do wrong? No. Did your mother do wrong? No. Did your brother do wrong? No. Did your sister do wrong? No. Who did wrong? Me? Yes. That's reproof and correction. And I always would say the paddling won't fix it, but it's a physical reminder to make you think that you might not want to do it again. The paddling never fixed the problem, but it did make them think before they did it again. No, I'm not going to do that again. Something wrong does not mean you failed. It means it needs correction. Listen to this. Not correcting it is failure. Just because something's wrong and you have to correct it does not mean you failed. Failing to correct it is failure. Continuing to make the same mistake over and over and over and over again, that is failure. Boy, that's good stuff. The word reproof also means chastisement. The word chastisement means punishment. Let me say this. And this is not in reference to age. This is in reference to an attitude. But the more immature the person, the more often there's going to be chastisement. You correct a 2 and a 3-year-old usually more than you correct a 12 and a 13-year-old. If you'll correct them at 2 and 3, you don't have to correct them as much at 12 and 13. What happens is we wait till they're 12 and 13 to try to correct too late. Everybody doing okay? The more immature the violator, the more often the chastisement. My daughter said, I'm looking forward to the day when we can get through a day without a paddle. Just one day. I said, yeah, that'll come. Oh, let's see. The other one's going to be born in May. You got about 12, 15 years to go. I said, it'll go from every hour to every couple hours, then several times a day to a couple days a week, and then it's down to once a week, and then it's down to once every couple weeks. And I said, but if it's a boy, they need it once a day, whether they need it or not, for quite a while. You say, why? Because the more stubborn the violator, the more severe the chastisement. I.e., my statement, you hit a mule harder than you hit a puppy. A mule's going to be harder headed than a puppy. The more stubborn something is, the more severe the chastisement has to be. Everybody doing okay? The goal of chastisement is not to punish. The goal of chastisement is to get them to correct. To get them to fix it so you don't have to. I was principal in many Christian schools. And when you have 150, 200, 250 students, people try to get away with things that are against the rules. And I'd have a young lady come in dress code violation, or a boy. And I would always make this statement. If you would look at yourself in the mirror before you come to school, you wouldn't get demerits for it at school when somebody else looks at it. Don't blame me. You signed the handbook. And I'm the bad guy because I did that. They paid me to enforce the rules. They signed a handbook, their parents signed the handbook, and then they want to get mad because they enforced the rule they're paying me to enforce. That never made sense to me. And I always said, if you look at yourself in the mirror, we won't have to give you a demerit. It's that simple. If a boy will look in the mirror and realize his hair is too long, I don't have to give him demerits for his hair being too long. Everybody understand? See, if we just fix it ourselves, boy, that's good stuff. The goal is to correct and self-correct, not just punish. So that is what reproof is. Number two. Aren't you glad there's only 3 points and no poem? Number two, reproof teaches us personal responsibility. Now, this is where the rubber's going to meet the road and you're not going to like me as much. We must all realize that God makes us accountable individually for life. Brother Patrick, Miss Kelly, I love this couple, love this family. Do you know what? You're going to answer to God for you and not for those boys, not even for your wife. Now, she's going to have to answer God for you. You've been a pain. But as much as you love your boys and your wife, you'll answer to God for you. Boys, he's not going to answer to God for your life. He's going to answer to God for his life. You're going to answer to God for yours, and you for yours, and you for yours. You have to realize something. You're not going to stand before God and say, well, it's my daddy's fault. That ain't going to float. It was my mama. She did it. It wasn't me. Guess what? I don't think when you stand before God, he's going to accept that. And we must all realize we stand before God for ourselves. Quit beating yourself up over your adult children. They stand before God for themselves, not you. Quit trying to be mommy and daddy to an adult. Ouch. We doing okay? You're not going to face God as a family. You face God as an individual. When I face God, it's not going to be my wife holding my hand. It's going to be me all by my lonesome. That's a little scary. Reproof makes a person step up and take account of his or her own actions. Turn to Proverbs chapter 17 very quickly here. Proverbs 17, look at verse number 10 very quickly here. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. The word stripes there means when grandma went out and got a switch and whipped you with a switch. She left a stripe on you. Imagine getting switched 100 times. God says reproof enters into a wise person better than beating a person that hates reproof 100 times. I guess just a beating alone doesn't give somebody individual responsibility, does it? Everybody doing okay? It doesn't allow for us to drop the bar or standard so more people can reach it. Listen to me. It is the bar. It is the standard. And it forces people to step up, not bring it down. We are sissifying our world today by trying to lower the standards of everything so more people can reach it. The same amount of people are reaching it, but they're never getting very high. Remember when George Bush II made everybody in public education mad because he wanted to mandate kids could read by third grade? Shoot, I was mad too, but not because by third grade, I'll be by the end of kindergarten. Teachers' unions were going crazy. What do you mean we got to teach them to read by third grade? Do you realize the greatest presidents in history never went to school past eighth grade? Do you know who the first publicly educated president was from first grade through high school? FDR. And we wonder what happened. All of your presidents prior to FDR, most of them prior to Woodrow Wilson and back, didn't go to anything more than a one-room schoolhouse. Most of them to eighth grade. Many of you had parents or grandparents that didn't go past eighth grade. And they could read better than most kids that graduate from high school and college today. Let me pull a book off my shelf written in the 1700s or 1800s and see how many people could read it and understand it without a dictionary or without Google or Siri. Everybody doing okay? Most of those were written by people that didn't go past eighth grade in school. Quit trying to find the easy or the fast way out. for yourself or for your kids. Step up. Sometimes it's not the fast way out. It's a long, hard haul. Rearing kids is 18 years of Hades on earth. Day by day, battle by battle. It is. But if you win the war early enough, it's not as bad of a battle later. Amen. Reproof teaches you to do things right in all situations, not just the easy way. You know, everybody needs to listen to me very carefully here. We live in this instantaneous society and we want the answer fast. We think because we can ask Google or Siri or what's that stupid box that you all have in your house? Yeah, that's the one. We think that if we can ask it, it gives us the answer to, it's God and it gives us all knowledge. Y'all are trusting Alexa and Google and Siri far more than you trust God. I'll read it to you, don't turn there, but Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 23, the Bible says this, "Turn you at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, I will make known my words unto you." Turn you at your reproof. Where do we turn? To the words of God, not to the words of man. Let's go find the answer. That's called good ethics. Testing principles as a teen and adult. Okay, ethics. We had a family visit here last Sunday. They go to another church, in the Baptist church in the area. I shook their hand. I thanked them. I sent them a letter. I told them, standing right back here, but I won't come visit you next week unless you're looking to change churches. If so, give me a call. I'll come visit you. Say why? Because my ethics say they go to another Baptist church in the area. I'm not going to go visit them. I've never had a pastor do that to me, but that's what my ethics are to others. Everybody doing okay? I believe that's the right way to handle it. I've had people do that, and they'll say, well, we're kind of looking right now. Okay, do you want to talk about it? Well, let's go to church first. Yeah, could you stop by? Yes. Reproof teaches good leadership by accepting blame that often is done by others. And you as the leader have to absorb the blame. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 18 says this, "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that guardeth reproof shall be honored." Not everybody's going to be prosperous and wealthy, but you don't have to live in a cardboard box the rest of your life. Reproof teaches you to do the harder right for right's sake, not for convenience sake. Everybody listen to me very carefully here. We live in a society that wants to do everything the easiest way they can find to do it. Sometimes the easy way is not the best way. Well, it's my way. Sometimes that's not the best way. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 31, the Bible says this, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." President Trump's approach to presidency this time is much different than it was his last time. Can I tell you why? He's been reproved. He's hit the ground running even faster than he did last time. He knows who he needs, where he needs to plug him in, what he needs. He knows what it's going to take. Plus, he's worked for an extra 4 years getting people in Congress that are going to vote the right direction. He's helped clear some of the swamp. There's still a lot of swamp out there. But we got at least enough fresh water in there to maybe have a chance. And by the way, easier is not always better, but right is always right. Yes, sir. You looking good has nothing to do with right and wrong. How I appear doesn't have anything to do with right and wrong. Do right and let looks care for itself. Well, I'll do it as long as it doesn't make me look bad. Oh, you're so full of yourself, it's not even funny. Proverbs 29:15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." You're so worried about how you look that you won't do right. Ouch. I wrote this statement down. I thought it was good. There's no you in right. Y-O-U. There's no you in right. Right has nothing to do with you. Right has everything to do with right. Number three, I gotta hurry. I'm gonna run through these very quickly. Get your finger licked. We're gonna be in the book of Proverbs. You ready? Number one, what does hating reproof do? When you hate reproof, you don't follow godly counsel. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Look at verse number 25. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Skip down to verse 30. I want to read all those verses, but we don't have time. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Do me a favor. I love you. But if you want to come get my advice, do me a favor. At least listen to it. And if there's correction involved, accept it and go forward. Don't keep wallowing in the same pig hole. Now, I love you whether you listen to me or not. But if you're not going to do what you know is right to do, then don't waste everybody's time, yours and mine. I know people that say, well, I'm not going to go see preacher because I already know what he's going to say. That's somebody that hates reproof. Everybody doing okay? I'm not telling you I'm God. I'm not telling you I know everything. But I will tell you this. We're going to look at the Word of God and do it according to what he said and take the heart of right. Number two. Moving on. Hating reproof causes you to think you know more than your teachers. Proverbs chapter 5. This one's going to stick hard. Verse number 12. And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. These are the people that say, oh, you don't need to listen to your teacher. I know better. I hated school. I hated my teachers. Look how well I've done. Yeah, do me a favor. Don't talk to my kids or grandkids. Because you're an idiot. Folks, I'm going to help you. He didn't ask me to do this. It amazes me how people that, if they graduated from high school, they barely did. They've never taught one class in school in their life. They've never taught one subject in their life. Can come tell me or Brother Anthony they know more of how to run the school than we do. Well, you just don't understand my child. No, I just happen to have had a few thousand of them. And how many have you instructed? Maybe you ought to step back from an administrative level and look at this and compare how many people he and I have taught compared to how many you have taught. I didn't say we're perfect, but more times than not, we're going to make a better decision than you any day. And don't take that in a boastful way. But it's just a fact. I've not only trained students, I've trained the teachers of the students. I've trained the administrators of the teachers of the students. I've seen it from more sides than you've even looked at. So maybe before you tell your kids that the preacher and the teacher and the principal don't know what they're talking about, that means you hate reproof. Everybody doing okay? Let me move on. Hating reproof causes you to think that error and wrong is right versus truth. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Well, I know how to live. Look how I'm doing. Yeah. And nobody wants to do it with you. You see, this is the way I do it. And everybody just needs to accept that. That's called being in the error of the way of life. when I grew up in Ohio, there's two things that you learned in Ohio. You hate anything from Michigan, and you're an Ohio State Buckeye from birth. All right? It's just a fact. But in Ohio, high school sports is huge. You just don't understand. But there's one thing that's almost as big as high school sports, and that's band. If you weren't an athlete, you were in band. You've never seen a marching band until you've seen the Ohio State University marching band. It is impressive. That was the gold standard. And it still is to this day, just so you know. It's impressive. Some of our high schools played at a higher level than most colleges play, as far as musically speaking. I grew up in it. There's still people that get together in Ohio all over the place. And I'm talking about old fogies in their 60s and 70s that used to play in marching bands, and they get together and play concerts together. And they'll have thousands of people show up. Let me tell you something. Ohio State does this thing, and they did it this year at the championship game. They opened the game up, or it was at halftime, and they did the O-H-I-O in cursive, but they did it in two on both sides of the field. Flipped the right direction. Every person in exact step. If somebody went the wrong direction, can I tell you something? They're not going to blame everybody else for going the wrong direction. But that's the way a person who hates reproof will do it. They hate, well, everybody else is out of step. I'm in step. You heard that one in the military time or three, haven't you? You see, hating reproof causes you to think that because you did it, no, everybody else is wrong and you're right. Number next. Hating reproof causes you to hate your parents. Proverbs chapter 15. Look at verse number 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. I'm going to tell you something. There are people in here, you're going to... wait a minute, that wasn't the verse I wanted. That's the next one. Verse 5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that guardeth reproof is prudent. Some of you are... There are people that I deal with a lot that hate their parents. Can I tell you why? They hated reproof. I know people in here that had drunkards for family, but they still love their parents. They don't love their lifestyle, but they love their parents. I don't have to love everything that somebody does to love them. I can even hate some of the things they did, but I don't have to hate the person. But when you hate correction from a parent, you'll end up hating your parents. Those of you that have children that hate you, it comes because they won't accept reproof. Not because you're a bad parent. Put the blame where the blame goes. It's on them, not you. Quit feeling guilty about it. Everybody doing okay? Hating reproof causes people to die early. That was Proverbs 15:10. Drugs, alcohol, driving wildly, diseases, STDs, murder, on and on. All that comes because somebody lives rebelliously because they hate instruction. I was in South Carolina, a teenage young man, after I left there to go to work in Indiana, 21 years old, got on a motorcycle and wiped out at 95 miles an hour. They picked him up for about three quarters of a mile along the highway. I went back and took part in his funeral. I watched his mother walk the aisle and jump up on top of the casket and nearly pull the body out of the casket, to where we had to peel her off the dead body of her son. By the way, I sat with that young man at a youth conference, and he felt like the Lord wanted him to preach. Rebelled, went against mom, went against dad, went against God, ended up a few years later killing himself. That's a fact. You see, The more you hate reproof and the more you hate the instruction, the shorter your life's going to be. Hating reproof, number next, causes one not to get along with anybody in leadership. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. That's the person that has to work by themselves because they can't get along with anybody. I know some of you have your own jobs and you work by yourself, this, that, the other. I'm not upset. I don't mean that. But there are some people, they can't work in a place with more than themselves because they can't get along with anybody. They just hate everybody they work with. And it doesn't matter who it is. They want to be their own God deciding what's right and wrong. They have constant chaos, conflict, verbal arguments because it's not their way and they're too proud and too arrogant to accept reproof. I go back to the original verses. Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. Everybody listen to me. That word brutish means animalistic. An animal that's out of control. It's like one of these rodeo bulls. Kicking and snorting and screaming. Bucking and pushing and shoving. Nobody wants to get close to it because that's all it wants to do is push and shove and get away. That's what people who hate reproof are like. No one naturally likes to be corrected. Did you hear what I just said? Nobody naturally likes it. The wise person will see that it is for the best. It may not be what they like for now, but it will turn them into something that they want to be. Someone who hates reproof is so full of pride, they never see they're wrong. That's what God says. Maybe we ought to learn to love reproof, not hate it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I went a few minutes over, but that's all right. We need this. We're spoiled in America. We're spoiled as Christians thinking we're hot, not. We're nothing but a bunch of sinners. We need to get ourselves right with the Lord on this. Are you bucking authority? Are you hating reproof? Do you always push the blame off on somebody else? Maybe we need to take individual responsibility and learn to love reproof. As